Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Chadice Tunnell, for this Sunday, July 20th. We're excited about tonight's show, but before we get to the show, we want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. You can also join us in the chat room. I'm sorry, on our tweet chat, rather. You can join us by using the hashtag Beauty Lounge, and you can go to tweetchat.com, or you can follow it also on Twitter as well. And I'm going to turn it over now to Denise, so she has a little bit of beauty.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk. Good evening to TJ as well. Really quick, Sonia Kashuk's limited edition 15-piece professional brush set celebrating 15 years of award-winning brushes are in Target stores today. They retail for $39.99, and you can get them online at $4 off at $35.99. They're a beautiful purple set of brushes, so you know I'm going to have to check that out. But you can check out the Target in your area for availability of the brush set. I do believe that they are not available in all Target stores, so you may have to shop around for this one. And Professional Beauty Association Government Affairs, the deregulation receives national attention. Here's an open letter to the industry. This is a government affairs update from PBA Advocacy. A letter to the professional beauty industry. Recently, former House Majority Leader Congressman Eric Cantor's views regarding occupational licensing were included in the Hill article titled GOP Leader Takes on Beauty Salon Licenses. In this article, Congressman Cantor and American Enterprise Institute President Arthur Brooks described the critical barriers licensing places upon an individual's right to work. It can take more than 10 times as long for someone to acquire a cosmetology license as opposed to a license to become a medical technician. Further, at a panel discussion at a conservative American Enterprise Institute conference, Cantor said that he would reach out to governors around the country to reform the licensing system. The article continues to include comments from Arthur Brooks as he compares 1,500 hours that are required for a cosmetology license in D.C., to the 135 hours required for a real estate license. Cantor also mentions the problem was that the federal government continues to subsidize the training programs that rely on steep licensing requirements for a profit. I share these points with you as an example of how our industry is viewed, not only by state legislatures where licensing laws are maintained, but at the federal government level as well. The industry is very aware of attempts by states to deregulate cosmetology licensing over the past few years, while time and time again professionals defend their industry and their license. These views are not only being driven by groups like AEI, but by other well-funded and well-organized activist groups and think tanks such as the Institute for Justice and the Goldwater Institute, just to name a few. Over the last several years, the Professional Beauty Association and other local groups have worked tirelessly with licensees, state legislatures, and regulators to address this very serious issue. However, common factors for the reasons behind deregulation efforts continue to be present. These factors include the inconsistent number of cosmetology hours required to obtain a cosmetology license in one state versus another, excessive education hours overall, inconsistent treatment of license types, and lack of license reciprocity, among others. In addition, activist groups and elected officials fear there is layer upon layer of regulations and hours within the cosmetology industry that are burdensome, unnecessary, indefensible, and simply do not make sense. For these reasons, elected officials are being encouraged by organizations such as the AEI to remove or reform occupational licensing. In this particular situation, PBA is communicating with the former Majority Leader's Office and AEI to provide information and be a part of this discussion. In the long run, the vast disparity among state licensing requirements will leave our industry vulnerable to legislative attacks and the risk of deregulation. To begin to address the long-term solution to this threat, PBA has organized a professional beauty industry working group with representation from key associations and sectors of our industry, including schools, independent salons, multi-unit salon owners, state cosmetology boards, and other stakeholders. We are crafting a united message of reform by creating a documented and well-researched reform platform for our industry to broadly endorse. The platform will address issues like common education hours for scope of practice, license mobility, health and safety, infection control, national testing, continuing education, and other standardized licensing criteria. The need for uniformity across the U.S. can no longer wait. If we do not make common sense practical decisions to unify and reform our licensing structure, then these decisions will be made for us by those outside of our industry looking to remove occupational licensing altogether. No longer can we sit by without the research, data, and documentation to support the licensing rationale in our industry. Respectfully, Steve Sleeper. He's the executive director of the Professional Beauty Association. So for more information on deregulation, how to become a state captain, how to sign up for action alerts, you can go to PBA's website, and that's probeauty.org. Again, that's probeauty.org, or you can call them at 800-468-2274 or 480-281-0424. And again, that's the Professional Beauty Association. So I think this topic is, you know, if we thought it was serious before, it's really serious now. Because I do honestly believe that there needs to be some uniformity amongst the states as far as licensing requirements are concerned. Absolutely. And I think that's a question I want to ask our guest. But first, I just want to welcome our guest to the show, TJ Roman. Welcome to Beauty Talk.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys tonight.
And I want to get into that topic a little later on. But first, I just want you to introduce yourself to our listening audience and just tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do, who you are, where you're from, and how you started your career as a makeup artist and hairstylist.
Okay, no problem. My name is TJ Romlin. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, hairstylist, and also barber. Classification can change a bit by depending on what type of job you're doing, but it's also considered a male groomer. I'm born in Frankfurt, Germany. Was there for about 5 years before my parents and I and my sister, we all came back over to the States, and we hopped around a bit. We were kind of gypsies in a way, to a certain extent, but just throughout the service, you know, we would go from one base to the next. My father was kind of free-spirited, and he didn't like to be tied down, so we moved around a lot, and that sounds really, really cool to a certain extent, but at the same time, I would have liked to have had, like, some familiarity to a certain degree, but it worked to my advantage now because it's allowed me to be the free spirit that I am today. I started my career in 1995 back in California, Hollywood. I was, at the time, I didn't honestly think that I would be a hairstylist or a makeup artist. I'm an artist by just... naturally, so I'm able to kind of sift into one career and out of another career, and it just depends on whatever it is that I have an interest in at that moment, then I believe that I can, you know, kind of take off in that direction, whether that be interior design, whether that be a chef. You know, I think that we as artists, we're that versatile. And I had an opportunity to show my work to an agent, and these were clearly snapshots. At the time, I was so green, and I didn't know anything about photo shoots at the time. I just knew that I had a passion to make people beautiful. And I started out as a barber and then went on to become a hairstylist. And then after that, in 1998, from being a hairstylist in film and in TV, I got the opportunity to get into commercial work, and then that allowed me to become a makeup artist. I went to Sunset Gower Makeup Academy in Hollywood. That's where I got my certification. And I left Hollywood that same year, and then I took off to New York, and then I felt if I wanted to really learn how to be a great makeup artist, I felt I had to be thrown in a system that I was completely unfamiliar with. I didn't think that I would set out to be a makeup artist, but I was pushed by a very amazing woman. Her name is Kathleen Beaton. She is a local 706 makeup artist, and she was the one who put a brush in my hand. It was on a Tony Bennett Visa commercial, and we were shooting out in Burbank at the time, where there was a Virgin Megastore there, and this is when the debit cards had become, you know, really, really popular. And at the time, Tony Bennett's makeup artist and personal hairstylist who laid his hair, they didn't show up to the commercial for whatever reason. I don't know if their flight had gotten canceled or what, but it was a quick switch-up situation going on where they moved the department head, which was Kathleen Beaton, to Tony Bennett's personal, and then they made me, my first time ever doing a commercial, a department head. And they threw a brush in my hand, and they told me that I had to make 5 principals, you know, camera ready, and I had to do it within 2 hours. And I was, oh my God, ladies, like I'm telling you, I've never held a makeup brush in my life at that time. And I didn't know that I even had a skill, you know, with makeup. Although I paint and I draw, I just didn't make the association. But Kathleen really, really, you know, she gave me the best prep talk. It was like, not like, you know, like you're in a ring and you get slapped by your coach, but it kind of felt like that because I had sweat running down my back. And it was really I was nervous because, again, I'm a great hairstylist and I'm a great barber, and this is just coming because I have a passion connected to it because I want to make people look good. I never saw myself as a makeup artist, I'm going to be very honest with you. So she had to push me into it to a certain extent, but she didn't really have enough time to really, you know, kind of stroke me into it. She had to say, listen, I have to go, and you're going to do this. We don't have the time to call anyone else. And I said, okay, let's go. So after the prep talk, I knocked it out, man, and that gave me the confidence that I needed to go and sign up for Sunset Gower Makeup Academy. And after doing that in 1998, I took off. And then that's when I went out to New York, and I started working for MAC Cosmetics, and I was thrown again into a world that I wasn't familiar with. I was at Macy's Herald Square, the largest Macy's in the country, and it's also the most profitable store for MAC. You know, that's what they make so much money just at that one location. And at that point, you have literally thousands of women, you know, coming into the cosmetic, you know, area, and then they always went to MAC first. And at the time, this is when MAC was owned by Frank and Frank, just the two artists that created the company. Now it's bought out by Estee Lauder.
Right.
But back then, they threw every possible, you know, shape of a face and of lip and of eye and everything at me, man. And I mean, I took it on and I just consumed it and I realized that, wow, man, makeup is phenomenal, and makeup is, you know, there's so much power in it. And I saw what I could do for women and make them feel encouraged and empowered, you know, to be the best people that they could be. And if that meant, you know, whether they were on camera, whether they were just being a great mom, whether they were, you know, a school teacher, it just meant that I was helping them feel beautiful. And that to me took over for me. I mean, and not to say that I put hair on the back burner, because I mean, in my heart of hearts, I'll always be a barber and a hairstylist. But, you know, in terms of classification, and when I went into the union, I went into the union purposely as a makeup artist. That is what I choose to be, and that's what I kind of want to settle in. And I've grown so much in it that, you know, I've been able to to do makeup in film, and my largest film that I've done to date is Bring It On, and that was the first film that I got an opportunity to actually do makeup in, and that was a big, big move for me, and I saw that as God giving me my opportunity and also giving me my answer that this is what I should be doing. So I took off with it, and you know, after staying a year and a half in New York, I felt strong enough to come back to Hollywood and kick butt. And I'm you know, naturally, you know, I'm a very driven alpha male, and I if I see something that I want, I'm going to go after it, and I'm going to go get it. And it was my goal to get in a union, and it took me 11 years to do it. But I'm very grateful that I got there because it was the validation that I felt like I needed for myself, you know, because I'm a very unorthodox, you know, person, very unorthodox artist, but at the same time very loving, giving, supportive, you know, but I don't necessarily follow trend and I don't necessarily follow the steps of others, you know what I mean? If something, you know, speaks to me spiritually, you know, speaks to me, you know, in my heart, and I'm a feeler, I'm a Pisces, you know, I'm an artist first, so it's like, If I'm being led to do something and I pray on it and I'm given the okay, then I'm going to make that move. And it may not make sense to any other, you know, group or, you know, my mom or, you know, just people
right.
in general, people that I may look up to. You know, it's right. it's about what makes sense to me. And I'm not looking at someone else's career and basing my career off of their career. And I also, ladies, I didn't want to be stifled as an artist. I didn't want someone to tell me that because I'm African-American that I only have to do black people. You know what I mean?
Right.
I felt that I'm an artist and I should be able to, you know, any canvas that's in front of me, I should be able to make them look the best that they have ever looked. You know what I mean? And show them how beautiful they are, you know, by my abilities, you know, and I'm not intimidated by culture. I'm not intimidated by faces, and I'm happy that I thrusted myself in a world that I was completely shaken. I was shaken, nervous, and I didn't think that I could do well with it. And now, it's taken me all over the world, and I'm very grateful, you know, for that. And that's because, you know, when you have that internal flame, and we all have it as artists, you know, we have that internal mm-hmm. flame that, like, wow, we burn a little differently than others. And it's not to say that we're better than others, it's just that we're wired differently, you know, and
right.
we can go really far if we just, you know, like, pay attention to that and not ignore it and not, you know, kind of take on the words of others. And, you know, sometimes people don't realize when they can be speaking negativity in your life, even if they don't understand it, you know what I mean? So sometimes I realize I have to be quiet. I have to be quiet. I have to take
right.
it in. And when you connect with great people in the business, like the person that referred me to you all and introduced me to you all, Miss, you know,
mm-hmm.
Valerie Noble, when you connect with beautiful people that are incredibly talented, you know, equally as passionate as you are, you hold on to those people for dear life because you're going to
yes.
run into tons of people in the entertainment business or just being an artist, period. We're givers. So we're going to continually run into people that we want to make better, that we want to enhance, that we want to share with them how beautiful they are. You know what I mean? And that can be sometimes draining. So you need to hold on to the good people, you know what I mean? Because they're our, you know, our energizer battery, you know what I mean? They kind of recharge us. And it's important throughout your career to make sure that you have your network and to know that, you know what, your network doesn't have to be, you know, very closed and isolated. Just be a great person and you can network with great people. And we're all cut from the same cloth, I feel. It's just that we all need to come together and realize that we can all help each other, and we can help each other just by just being encouraging. So
that's right.
I have that with great, you know, great people like Valerie. And I love being different, and at one point, you know, as a kid, you know, just being artistic, we can be considered weird, queer, different, bizarre, you know what I mean? All those weird attributes,
right.
and, you know, now I kind of resonate with them, ladies. You know what I mean? Now I'm not intimidated by
right.
them, and that's what makes my artistry, you know, different. You know what I mean? And also makes it unique, and it's not, I'm not trying to mirror my abilities to someone else's abilities. You guys, we can all shine together. Like, that's the beauty of this thing. So I feel that, you know, we all have something to offer. We all have something to give. And it was one of the reasons why I also left Hollywood. And I left Hollywood in 2010. And it was because I felt like, wow, is that all I can do is Hollywood? You know what I mean? Is that all I can do? And I've done great things, and I'm not knocking it, but I have to be honest with you, the world is really, really big, and my mother used to always tell me, you know, the world is too big to be sad, So you can get out there and you can make your dreams happen wherever they are. And at one point, because I dreamt of Hollywood so much as a kid, ladies, like I've always known that I would somehow be in the business, somehow, some way. You know, because we're getting creativity. Creativity is what Hollywood and entertainment is based on. So we
knew
this. So I knew it was going to come, but I didn't know that it would be this way, if that makes any sense. So I took the ball and I ran with it, and I gave it 15 years of my life, and I figured that, you know what, I think that there's just so much world out there, and there's so many people that I'm meant to affect. And I was inspired to come back to New York. And I left 2010, and I got to New York, and I have to tell you, it was a rude awakening, because after giving, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to this great business that we love that we're in, it was interesting because New York is a little different, and I'm saying a little different, and I'm being very, like, kind by saying a little, because I mean a lot different, you know what I mean?
Right.
In reference to them, you know, taking our work and what we've done seriously if they don't know us. And I have to tell you, there were times that people weren't even reading my resume because they didn't know me, or or they didn't take my Hollywood resume seriously. And I was blown away. I was knocked out of the box with it, and I had to, you know, take a couple months to, you know, like reassess some things and look at, like, did I make the right decision in coming here? And then at the same time, I feel like if you can make it in New York and if you can make it in Hollywood, you can make it anywhere. So I didn't see failure. And I rebranded myself. My real name is Taurus Jerome, and that's what everyone knows me as in Hollywood. However, I felt that I did not want to bring Hollywood to New York. So I created my new brand, and my brand is TJ, which is Taurus Jerome, and my brand name is Romeland. So I rebranded myself TJ Romeland, and I started over ground zero in New York, and I have now gotten myself to the point where I can command $5,000 a day. And I'm not saying that as a number just to say, like, oh, I'm bragging, but I've earned that, and that's because I believed in myself enough to leave Hollywood to make that happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is without an agent. This is without a manager. This is because I believed in myself and I knew that I had something to offer. And if New York wasn't going to respect what I've done, then I'm going to show you who I am, New York. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to share with you that I'm here to offer all great things to everyone that I work with. And I had done that. And I'd gotten a chance to work with designers, models, and then also be flown to Russia to go do extensions. And then it was just a different feel of what I was accustomed to and what basically my background is, which is all I knew was Hollywood, starting at 22, you know what I'm saying, and then leaving at 37, 38, you know what I'm saying? So that was all I knew. So I felt a bit handicapped, and I felt like, well, dang, you know, if I don't do a celebrity, then I can't work. Or because there were times that, ladies, I would go and apply for certain jobs, and people would automatically are looking at me. There's a bit of envy, but they're also looking at me like, well, why are you coming back here if you've already done Hollywood? So it was like that ongoing thing, like, wow, like you're overqualified, and now I'm even intimidated by you to some extent. So I wouldn't get certain jobs. So that had been something that was a hard pill for me to swallow, but I believe that we are meant for greatness, period. We all have stories. We all have things that have either not gone the way that we wanted to, but we have to persevere. And that's, to me, what's most important. Is that you can't believe that things best. Listen, we are in the business of Hollywood, but it is make-believe, but it takes work to get there, and it takes work to stay there. And then it even takes even more work to realize that you're bigger than what you thought that was bigger than you. You know what I'm saying? We're meant for greatness, and I believe that we're meant to share this throughout the world, and that's what will enrich us and make our experiences greater, is if we don't hold on to our fears or our comfort zones. I'm very, you know, unorthodox to where, like, if something becomes too comfortable too much, I become incredibly bored, and I now have mastered it. Not to say that with arrogance. It's just that, you know, as artists, you give us a moment around something for just a minute. It'll take us a minute to get it, and then once we got it, we can do it with our eyes closed. I believe that because that's what I do. That's what I know other artists that do the exact same thing. So with that said, I felt empowered enough to move on. I felt empowered enough to know that my history is Hollywood, and I can always revisit that. But that is not all that I am. So then God had opened up more opportunities for me to where I've now gotten opportunities to be on reality shows, I didn't see that coming. I've gotten opportunities to be invited to, you know, beauty-based events and red carpets just for being T.J. Romland, not being celebrity makeup artist T.J. Romland, but for being me. Do you understand what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
that happened because I stepped outside of that comfort zone. And don't get me wrong, once you get in Hollywood, it's hard to pull away, but you can because you're not really pulling away. You're just not making it the most important thing. We are the most important thing. We, the artists, is what we're offering to people. It's what, this is what we're here for. This is what we have these abilities for, is to share with people how great we are. So it can't all be done in Hollywood. There's a big world out there, so I needed to go.
Wow. Wow. I am so inspired just off of your answer to one question.
That's awesome.
And with all that you said, there's so many questions now. I really don't know where to begin. Let's see. Where do I start? Well, just a quick shout out to Sunset Gower Makeup Academy.
Yes.
Just tell me,
yes,
tell me what you loved about. Tell me what you loved about that school.
Walking in the door, I met, I believe she's the owner. It was her and her husband at the time. I don't remember the husband's name, but he was a phenomenal man. But he was I think he was borderline the principal or the dean to some degree, but it was Maureen. Maureen welcomed me into that school, and she didn't make me feel as if I was incapable of being a makeup artist because I had never really held a makeup brush. And I appreciate good vibes. I'm an artist that really appreciate good vibes and also an optimistic attitude and optimistic energy. And because of my background and you know, my story, of I've been around some negativity, you know what I mean? And I'm very sensitive to negativity. So if I come close to it, nope, shut down, I'm done. And that's in all things in my life. And that may not work for everyone, but it works for me. So she was open and receptive to me, and she was open and receptive to not only me, and that's what I liked about it. She was open and receptive to everyone that was at the time registering for school. So that was inviting enough. And then to find out that it wouldn't take me a year to find out whether or not this is something that I wanted to do. This was a three-month course, ladies. This was a three-month course, and it was also practical in terms of the cost. And that's what I needed at that time. In 1998, I was starting over again, you know what I mean, like taking on a whole new career. So it's like not only am I a barber and I'm a hairstylist and I'm accredited hairstylist, you know, and I've done X, Y, and Z, and I've done, you know, this, and that, but now I'm taking on being a makeup artist. And to me, I needed to understand the roots of makeup before I picked up a makeup brush claiming that I was a makeup artist. And she taught me how to be a makeup artist. And there was another, you know, phenomenal industry vet. Her name is Sabine. I believe she's German, and she came in like she was like our guest professor that would come in and just teach us how, you know, what set etiquette was and what, you know, set verbiage was. And in addition to that, you know, how to cheat certain things. You don't have to go in and do a flawless face if it doesn't require it. It's about beauty, and you can cheat certain things with beauty to get the job done because we don't have the time to do, you know, a two-hour face. We don't have that time. You know, we just don't have that time. So she taught us just different ways to be the best people that we were, because the people that were in my class, we were already, you know, seasoned artists. Like, we just were taking on something new. You know what I'm saying? So she didn't make us feel insecure. And that's what I liked about that school. And I thought that the course was thorough. I thought that the course, it was cost effective. And at the same time, you had fun with it, and enough to, I think I've referred this school throughout my whole career, and I don't even know how many people have gone, but I know for sure that I get a good response back from the people that I have referred to for them to go today. And again, that was back in 1998, and that is the only makeup school that's connected to a working studio. And that was another reason why I chose Sunset Gower Makeup Academy, because I'm an industry artist. You know, I'm not a salon artist, you know, and I want to go to a school that supported industry work. You know, I wanted to have these guest professors come in that are actually working in the field. They just left the movie set. They just left the television set. They just left the video. You know what I'm saying? And that that gave me the comfort also to see that I could actually do this. So hands down, I would recommend that school to the day I die.
Nice. Now, tell me just a little bit about how scared were you when she put that makeup brush in your hand?
Whoa, which sister's asking this one? Is this Denise?
But Denise wants to know, too.
Okay, but terrified, ladies, just all I can say, because, you know, I think we've all been in situations where, you know, we're put on a time constraint. We're put in a situation where, listen, we know all things production is time is money. And we also know that we want to put our best foot forward, and we want to, like, not be put in a life or death situation when we do that. And I felt that this was kind of like a crash and burn, or, you know, you fly to the heavens, you know what I mean, with how you perform with this. And at the end of the day, I over-exceeded my own expectations for myself. But in the interim, I just didn't want to mess up. That's one of, you know, I've been able to acknowledge that was one of my largest fears as an artist, is that I just want to do the best that I can absolutely do to whoever it is that's sitting in my chair. So I didn't want to make this girl, even, thank God, listen, her character was goth. She had a goth character, so I couldn't really go wrong with this particular, and there was only one girl, and the rest of the principals were guys, so I just had to do, you know, just natural makeup on the guys, and I had to make her look goth. So it actually worked, but I was so nervous that I was shaking, that there were moments, and then the actress, she was so cool with me, and she just said, listen, I believe in you, and I think that you can do this. And not only that, Kathleen, I've worked with her before, if she didn't feel comfortable enough, you need to understand, she would not have gone on to Mr. Bennett and then left you here. She would have told you to hold on, and she's going to call someone else in. So that made me feel even more comfortable, because Kathleen and I had worked together after that commercial. She and I had worked together doing easily 20 different commercials throughout a 3-year time span. We had a beautiful relationship, and I adore Kathleen Beaton, and if anyone meets her or works with her, it's only going to up your game. Like, when I tell you, the epitome of class, the epitome of just professionalism, this woman has taught me so much as a makeup artist in commercial. There's differences. We all know this. Commercial makeup is different. Film makeup is different. Television makeup is different. You know what I mean? And then the integrating, you know, high def, all of these elements are different. So with me always wanting to be the best that I can be, knowing that this woman has taught me her skill in addition to the skill that I learned at Sunset Gower and then the skill that I learned over at Mac in New York, you know what I mean? It all just made me feel It made me feel like a makeup artist, and at one point, you know, just being a masculine man, you know, I just had never seen myself being a makeup artist. I just felt like, oh, okay, well, you know what I mean? Like, and in those times, I was like, oh, okay, I don't know if I can be, like, you know, making girls pretty. Yeah, I do the hair, man, because I love hair, but, you know, so it was some mind games going on there, but I worked past it, and I have to be honest with you, I'm very honored to be a makeup artist. We do beautiful things for people, man. We really, really do, and I'm inspired to go on, and I'm in the throes of creating a male cosmetic line, and also,
oh, nice.
You know, yes, it's highly time for that, and I'm very passionate about that, and I have some investors, you know, that are, you know, kind of laying and waiting for me to get my, you know, my executive summary together. So I'm praying that this gets off the ground, because this is going to be revolutionary, and I'm open and receptive to, you know, sharing this with as many men as possible, because it's high time that we put the attention on the man, and it's okay for us to look good. And I'm not saying look effeminate, I'm saying look good. Sometimes we have pimples. Sometimes we have dark marks.
Right.
We do need to, you know, evening out of our skin. So I want to address those things, and I don't think that they're being properly addressed right now, because at the end of the day, each man is still wearing female makeup. At the end of the day, this is cosmetics. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even if you got a black eye, if you got, you know, at the end of the day, like, even if we're using makeup on film, like, it's predominantly, you know, makeup for women that we're using for men. So I think, listen, let's tap into that. Let's tap into that, and it's not demasculinating. You know what I mean? It's just, we want to perfect the man. We want a man to feel comfortable enough that he can go on an interview, he can go on a casting, he can go, you know, anywhere and feel that he looks good, so he can be the best that he can be in whatever it is that he's doing. I think that's highly important, and I think that it's being touched on here and there, but it's not really, you know, being brought to the market the way that I'd like it to. So that's my ultimate goal.
So let me ask you this, TJ. Why not skincare? Because, you talk about the man having pimples and things like that and him wanting to feel, you know, the best that he can feel. Why not address the skincare? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's a part of the line also, and I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, but it's I don't want to make this a very complicated line, but skincare is definitely addressed in it.
So in the meantime, while we're waiting for the skincare to work, we can at least men can at least cover up with something.
Absolutely, and I don't want to give away too much, but when we talk again, I definitely want to share this with you all because I think it's important that you guys can also share it with your client base, you know, and also your followers and your listeners. I think it's important. And I'm saying men, or male, so that means I want to address, you know, preteens, I want to address teenagers, I want to address, you know, your college age, you know, young man. I want to address, you know, the young man. I want to address the mature man. So I'm looking at a whole spectrum of just taking care of men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's important. Yeah.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Now, again, there were so many questions I had for you. You spent a lot of time in Hollywood. And you spent some time in New York. Just thinking about the two places, I mean, I know that you're in Miami right now, and, you know, you've been all over the world with this makeup thing. Can you tell me a little bit about what you saw, what the differences are that you saw in women in regards to makeup and hair and beauty in all of these different places?
Wow, okay. There is a huge difference between hair and makeup between California women, or I would just say, I would speak on California. I don't want to say West Coast, but California women and New York women. I think because California is generally known for Hollywood and, you know, just the entertainment business, I think that women, they assimilate to that type of brand of woman, you know, in Hollywood. And in New York, they are more into, I would say, cleaner beauty, more natural beauty. It's not, and I'm not saying your Jersey girl, because your Jersey girl, that's a different girl. So, but I'm saying New York women, they're more, it's softer beauty, and it complemented my skill set. I categorize myself as a soft beauty artist, and that's because it's hard for me to spackle on makeup on a woman. Like I enjoy bringing out the natural beauty of this woman, whoever's in my chair, without us looking at makeup, but I want to see her natural beauty. So what is it that I need to do? I need to accentuate things on her face, but I don't want to see the makeup. So that's the type of woman that's in New York. But in Hollywood, no, women need to be beat. They need to be beat, you know what I'm saying? And it's like they need to be, you know, matted down, and they need to have the absolutely perfect brow. They need to have, you know, flawless Kim Kardashian, you know what I mean? Everyone's going toward that vein of, you know, beat down like they've got powder puffs under their eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't like a raccoon, that whole thing. Like it's just that I'm not opposed to a highlight, but when it's the powder puff, that's when it goes, that's not realistic. And I don't have a good or a bad opinion with that. It's just that that's just not my preference as a makeup artist. So coming to New York, it was welcoming to deal with women that were more caught up in their skincare regimen opposed to how thick this foundation was in terms of coverage, you know what I'm saying? So they would, you know, go to the root of the problem and just address the skin and making sure that the skin is supple and beautiful and it's clearly complected and it's even toned, opposed to spackling their face with makeup to give you that feel. So it's more of, it sounds exactly the way it is. It's more of Hollywood in Hollywood, and it's more real life in New York.
Gotcha.
Now in Miami, oh, man, Miami's a different feel altogether, because this is a very Latin-driven, you know, metropolitan. Like, it's very Latin. I'm saying Brazilian Latin. I'm saying Ecuadorian Latin. I'm saying, you know, Venezuelan Latin. So, like, they're into being perfect with, you know, with minimal makeup. Like, I mean, just they're doing enhancements, you know what I mean, to make sure that they're beautiful. They're not, you know, making sure that their skin is perfect. They're making sure that they've gotten the collagen. They're making sure they've gotten the, you know, the lips done, and they've gotten, you know, it's this is surgery town here. So it's a different vibe altogether. Yeah, it is. It's different. It's really, really different.
So,
and also
less
disadvantage.
Makeup and more, I'm sorry, I put it, less makeup,
yes,
and more surgery.
Absolutely. 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 Like,
yeah.
I mean, and surgery is pretty intense here. Like, and they go all out, and it doesn't matter how young. It's just, it's a different vibe altogether. And a lot of these women are actually getting surgery probably in Brazil and then coming here, you know what I mean? And they're
mm-hmm.
already made up, and then they go and get some fillers. You know, like, a plastic surgeon is definitely on the roll of, you know, the roll of dial. For sure.
Mm.
So that would be my differences with all three.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it's not a negative. It's not a good or bad. You know what I mean?
No,
it's just a difference. Yeah.
I mean, I'm feeling you on the New York and the Hollywood. I just, the Miami thing was a little new to me.
Well, I mean, have you all traveled to Miami at all?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you notice that? Did you see those differences? Like, did you guys go out into the nightlife, and were you a part of, like, the Lincoln Road, you know, scene?
Yeah,
like,
but I guess I just didn't. I guess I was so busy looking for food that I wasn't paying attention. You know,
I understand.
But TJ, I definitely recognize the less makeup thing. I guess what Janice is probably shocked is the surgery.
Yeah, I'm
talking
about
the surgery
thing.
Oh, no, it's intense. There's an area called Aventura here. Aventura is like surgery capital. It's like, wow. Like, there's always a plastic surgeon around, and they've got like major billboards, you know, promoting. Like, it's not a military secret out here. It's just one of the things that you do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I want to get a little bit into, I know that you've worked film and television and also like editorials,
mm-hmm.
but before we go any further, I wanted to ask you, because you said that you're not a salon stylist.
Yes.
But speaking of the salon, I just want to know your thoughts and your opinion on this, because like my sister mentioned in the beauty news, there's a big issue, and it seems like it's getting bigger and bigger. And I really
mm-hmm.
want all the licensed barbers, hairstylists, estheticians, nail tech, anybody with some type of cosmetology type of license to really pay attention to this issue and start fighting if you disagree with what's going on. I know I totally disagree. They want to take away licensing all over this country. How do you feel about that? Because I know that you're a licensed barber, and I know makeup is your thing now, but, you know, that barber license is a good thing for you to have as a makeup artist, and What do you think about that?
I'm speechless about it. First and foremost, I don't even understand. You know, we're such a important, you know, profession in all things life. You know, it's important for us to have, you know, these certifications and these licenses. We've worked hard for them, and not only that, we're woven into the communities and the infrastructure of life. So how could where is it right? I don't see that it's right at all. I think this is going to be one of my first interviews, so I don't want to go completely outlandish and just because I'm upset about this whole particular situation and it doesn't make me feel comfortable at all. But I don't think that there's any right at all. Like, they don't have a leg to stand on. They don't have a leg to stand on. And not only that, we really, really do end up helping our communities. You know what I mean? We really do involve ourselves in great things in our communities, not just being hairstylists or barbers or makeup artists. We're doing great things for people in general, but these careers are incredibly important because we have to, one, survive, first and foremost. How can we survive if we don't have our careers? Without our careers, without a license, we won't have our careers. They all run hand in hand, and it just it's disgusting to me, ladies. And I'm trying to be as politically correct as I can be right now without using some other choice words, but that's how I feel.
Wow, I just think. Let me ask you, what do you think will happen to the industry if all licenses go bye-bye? No one is required to have a license anymore. What do you think will happen to this industry?
I think it will become watered down. I think these are huge liabilities that they are creating. Education is really important, and a lot of people don't realize that cosmetology is a very broad field, and we choose to be hairstylists. We can go in many different directions, one, because we have the education to do that. So if you take away the education and take away the certification and the licenses, then you're basically telling anyone that, hey, I can curl someone's hair. Well, you can also damage this person's hair. You can also wound this person. You can also maim this person. You can do, all types of things that you should not be doing, and you would know not to do certain things if you were a licensed hairstylist.
Mm-hmm. So true.
I just think it would water it down. I think it would be, and ladies, we all know that this is already going on right now. You know what I mean? It's not
right.
That, and I'm saying, we know tons of hairstylists, and I'm saying I even know great hairstylists that are not licensed.
Exactly.
Know what I'm saying? I do know that. I know these people, but to take our licenses away from us, this is, man, I'm sorry, that was 10 months of 8 hours a day. Are you kidding me?
You work hard for that,
me?
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? It's sweat running down our back just to pass state board. Are you kidding me? So now all
exactly.
of that means nothing?
Right. And what else?
I mean,
that license gave you some type of credibility as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely it did. Absolutely, it always does,
It always does.
It always does, and that's with someone not even knowing me, not even Googling me, not what I'm saying. It's just that's what we worked hard for, and it makes no sense. And I just don't get this. It seems like there's always something, though, ladies.
Yeah, it's always something.
Always something, but we will persevere, and I think that if we rally together and we make our voices heard, we'll make the difference. So
That's right.
It's important that we have shows, like you guys' show. It's really important that you are getting the word out and that you are sharing it with everyone that's able to listen. And then as I get more information, I'll share it, with my network. So let's just all just be supportive of this. And also spread the word, Sometimes we can act really blind to things because we're so caught up in our lives, but this is something that we all need to address.
Right. Absolutely. But on a lighter note, I wanted to talk about your film and television career a little bit.
Okay.
And you talked about commercials being different from... I can't remember the other things that you mentioned, but you've worked on commercials. You've worked on a soap opera.
Yeah.
You've worked on a talk show. You've worked on Dancing with the Stars. How are those types of shows all, in regards to makeup, how are those shows different from each other? And I don't know if you did makeup or hair on those shows.
Actress Hollywood, I was makeup, hair, and barbering. And
gotcha.
It depends. In that particular situation, it's all about the journalist, the entertainment journalist. It's about what they feel comfortable with. And this is also what I want to share with every artist that's listening. This is what will make the difference between a seasoned, well artist that gets the business and one that is so caught up in themselves thinking that it's all about them as an artist. We're givers first and foremost. And one of our jobs, our main job, is to listen to our clients, not give our client what we want to give them. And this is why I'm honored to have been in Hollywood for as long as I've been in Hollywood, where I had to listen to these celebrities. I had to listen to the star client, or to who the talent was, because it wasn't about me at this time. It wasn't about what I wanted to do. And when they felt like they wanted my say-so or my opinion or my creativity, they'll open up and they'll give that to you. You know what I mean? Or they'll be interested to ask you. But 9 times out of 10, this is a system. It's a system, and at the end of the day, this is a job. The job is to make that person comfortable enough to do their jobs on camera. Period.
Right.
That's what makes it different. To me, it's just that you're going into these situations, and sometimes we may be in cush-cush environments where we actually get an hour to do a face, or sometimes people may even get 2 hours to do a face. That may not happen in every other scenario. In soap opera, you do not have only 30 minutes with this person. It's the client. Like in most soap opera actresses, they've been doing this for 20 years, so it's they're used to their pampering. They're used to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How they like to get up, and they want to smoke a cigarette, they want to talk on the phone, they want to hold their dog. You better do your job.
Right.
Do your job at the end of the day. It's going to annoy you. Yes, it's going to annoy you, but just think about how honored you are to be in this environment and and I'm not saying that you should be praising these people. No, this is your story, so make your story amazing and listen to your client so you can get her out of your chair. First and foremost, with the dog, you understand, and move on to someone else. So I think that's a huge difference, you know, in being open and receptive to being versatile in entertainment. I chose not to just be a one-tracked artist, and I'm not saying one-tracked is a negative thing because I know people that have been in film, and they've been in film, and they're not leaving film. That wasn't uh-huh. the type of artist that I was. I'm the type of artist that I love being multifaceted. I love having a multifaceted client that does TV, that she's a singer, and then she also has her own talk show, or that she also, travels the world. I like that versatility, and that, to me, also helped me to be able to be open and receptive to whomever it is that sits in my chair. Like, yeah, I was doing Nancy O'Dell. Nancy O'Dell is an absolute delight. Like, when I tell you, my heart of hearts, one of my most favorite people. This is my 19th and a half year. I started my career at 22, and I'm 41 now. This is crazy, ladies. Like, this lady is one of my top three all-time just kind, beautiful women to work with. And because she knew what she wanted, and she also trusted my creative abilities. You know what I mean? And I had a time frame to do it. And if she didn't like something, she would say no. I had I don't have feelings when it comes to doing makeup anymore. When I was green and I was newer, my first 5 to 10 years, oh my God, someone tell me they didn't like something I did, it would crush me. But now, no, it's not about that. It's not about them not liking something. It's just if they don't feel it, they don't feel it, and it's okay. It's only makeup.
Right.
My God.
Exactly. That's right.
You know
That's
what I
right.
mean? It's only makeup and it's only color, and you can always take it off. But the job is to learn that it's to do it in a certain time frame. So whichever job you're on, just because you're doing TV, it doesn't mean all TV makeup will be the same. It won't always be the same because the lighting isn't always the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
The complexions are not always the same. The temperature isn't always the same. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot. Depends on what type of show you're on, an episodic or a studio show, which would be sitcom. Do you understand what
right.
I'm saying? So it varies. And to make yourself a well-rounded artist, I would suggest that you play. Dabble in the business a little bit. Don't get so dead set on, no, this is all I do, and I won't be doing anything other than that. I think that, listen, you're chopping your head off because you're giving all of your amazing opportunities away, and God had these purposely made for you. So you're saying no to them when people are offering you jobs. Listen, yeah, I know we all have an ego. We all know that we're awesome. Yeah, that comes and goes. Listen, we could be hot one moment and then not be hot the next moment. So don't have feelings connected to your artistry. Know that you're good and just go in and do a great job and do it within a
right.
certain time frame.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go to the phone lines. We have a call from someone from the 203 area code.
Okay. Hey, ladies, I'm enjoying this, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Hello, who's calling?
Oh, my goodness. Hello, my name is Ebony. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Ebony.
I was writing. I was listening and writing. I'm saying, I'm wondering how much time they're going to give me because I don't want to hog up the line. But I have I have some questions.
Okay.
Okay, so TJ, you're in
yeah.
the union.
Yeah.
How did you start off?
In the union in California. In the union in California,
yes,
local
in
federal
LA,
place.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You started at 22. You're 41 now. You are where you went down the road I'm trying to go. Where do you start? I'm in Connecticut, which is close to New York. We do have a union, but it's hard as heck to get in this union. I need tips and advices on what to do, how to get in.
Ebony,
before
let me just say this really quickly before TJ or anybody responds. Let me ask you, is Connecticut a right-to-work state or not?
It's a right-to-work state.
It is a right-to-work state. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Whoever was about to
Okay.
But what I was going to – this is Jenny speaking. What I was going to say was
–
Hi. Now, both my sister and I are in the union that's out of New York. That's ISC Local 798. And what TJ is in is IATSE Local 706. Two different locals. Requirements are still the same. Okay, so I just wanted to put that out, and I'm going to let him answer the question.
Yes, now, I do want to let you know, Ebony, right off, it is always difficult getting in a union. So I just want you to be aware of that right now, that this is not an easy process. It took me 11 years to get into my union, and that was dealing with counting days. That was doing the 60-60-60. You know, I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's doing, you know, 60 union days in a five-year time frame, but for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? And that could happen, you know, if you get on a reality show. And please, by all means, make sure that you call the union also. I'm giving you my experiences, and I've been away from California since 2010, so there could be some union changes, but don't hesitate to give Sue a call. Sue is the president. She's open and receptive to answering all questions. But it took me 11 years to get into my union, and it was difficult, but you have to keep going. You know what I mean? And your direction would be is to network with production people. Find out production people that are in your local area and ask if they're doing things, you know what I mean, if they're open and receptive to working with new talent. Cultivating relationships with production managers, production coordinators, producers, even directors, the best way to get into the union, hands down, is a star request. If you're affiliated with the star and she or he is in the top three, they can do a star request, meaning they're bringing you onto the show, which means that you're wired into their contract to be their personal for the show. And because they're requesting you to be on the show, you are automatically just like grandfathered in to a certain extent, because there's a time frame that you have to be union to do that show. If that show is starting next month, then they're going to expedite that paperwork process to get you on that show, because they need their talent to be on that show, to be prepared to do that show. So you're that person's makeup artist, and they're going to need you to be prepared also. So then that would be your easiest way to get into the union, is by way of a star request. And there are always technicalities, so you make sure that you communicate with your talent and or the producer and or the line producer. You go and you ask questions. These questions are never, you know, like they – it may seem like you're getting on their nerves, but they have to answer these questions for you, especially if they're in the union. They have to answer these questions, and you need to know what the rules and the regulations are to get into the union. But it is not easy, and I just want to let you know something. In the grand scope of life, if something was easy, you're not going to value it. So it's going to take you a minute to get into this business. You've got to go through the ups and downs. This is one of the most celebrated businesses in the world, but this is a cutthroat business, and I need you to be aware
of
that.
Yes, it is.
Right.
I'm
up for the challenge.
Let me ask.
It sounds like it.
Let me, one, ask you a question, and two, let me just say this first. When people ask me the same question, you know, how can they get in? How did you get started? Well, of course, when I got in, it was, I want to say 2001 or 2002 or something like that. And it didn't take me as long as it took TJ. I mean, it may have taken me, you know, maybe 3 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like to tell people is this. Don't be so concerned with how to get in. be concerned with doing the work now.
The skill. Okay, yep, mm-hmm. that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, getting that skill, because you can get in as a star request, you know, a producer's request, whatever.
Yes.
You can get in and be like, oh, God, I got in, you know, and I'm excited and this and that, and can't do anything.
Right.
So
right.
Focus your time now on making sure your skills are where they need to be. But first, call that union and find out what's required, what they expect you to be able to do.
I feel like I'm all over the place because I entered the cosmetology was just here. Now I'm really good with makeup, and I got a certification for that. I worked at a nail salon, so I have that under my belt, and I'm just now really falling in love with men's grooming, like barbering.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends that are already in this community is like, listen, girl, you have to focus on one thing. But my thing is I'm in love with everything in this, even to, you know, skincare to an extent. But I have a passion for this, so I'm so much interested in it. I mean, I can't even I've never been as happy in my life ever until I've gotten in this phase. So I have
Ebony, can I say one thing really, really quickly? Uh-huh. Can I say one thing? Ebony, first off, I want to empower you and I want to encourage you and let you know that you are exactly on the right path that you need to be on.
Exactly.
I want to let you know something. People, like, we've been conditioned to believe, and this is going way back in the days, and I don't want to make this a slavery thing, but we've been conditioned to believe negative reinforcement. You know what I mean? And when people, because they're not used to being able to have the capacity to do more than one thing, we've got a condition to say to other people that you need to focus on one thing. No, I'm sorry, sir or ma'am, you need to focus on one thing, and I'm going to do time management. I'm going to do time management, and I'm going to put a little water on this little seat over here, put a little water over here on this seat, because all of these things at one time can pop on, you know, at different times. So it's not about you saying, okay, I'm going to put all of my cards or all of my time and energy on one thing, when technically, Ebony, that other thing that you've been watering over there, like, you know, once a month you're doing X, Y, and Z, or once a week you're putting a little time and energy into developing, networking, researching, doing social media connections. If you are doing that, then you're watering your redwood, sweetheart. You're watering your redwood. That means that you are planting seeds of redwoods, and something is going to sprout. And while you're going through that, you're also going through this personal regimen on how to build yourself. You're going to go through pros and cons throughout this whole experience, but your positive attitude is what's going to take you far, and I'm really, really happy to speak with you.
Oh, thank you. No, I do. Ebony. I love this industry. I really do. There's no other industry I would want to be in. I'm a third generation. My grandmother, she was more of a braider, but my mother was a hairstylist. And this is just, I could eat, sleep. I do this. This is fun for me. Even when I'm doing things for me, I still love to learn and everything.
Do you have relationships or local relationships with photographers? Because one of the things that you need to start. Okay, so that's begin to build your portfolio, meaning understanding what your work looks like in print or in a photograph, so you can begin to build your book and understand the confidence that comes along with, you know, just trial and error. You know what I mean? You see a GQ magazine. Go pick up a GQ magazine. Most of us have the ability, and I'm not saying that whether we do or we don't, but most of us do, artists, we have a bit of a photographic memory. And if we have some skills equated to something, we may not know the root of A, B, and C on how to make that happen, but you have your own way of making it happen. That's an amazing dynamic ability. You need to begin to capture those things in print so you can begin to build your own
I am. And I just hooked up with a retoucher. I'm sorry. I'm with Tony down because I get so excited. But I have a retoucher, too, has really cleaned up some of my stuff. And my portfolio is looking amazing. And I'm just getting so excited. I'm like, I'm just ready. I can't. I'm not like a cookie cutter stylist. I can't stay behind a chair. So I may go in for a little bit, but I really enjoy working on set, and I work with a lot of photographers. I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of that stuff I just do for TF because I want to build my portfolio. But then I notice when I get there, once they know you know how to do this and you know how to do that, like they use you for other gigs, which is kind of cool, you know. So I've been playing off of that, you know,
and building my kit and stuff. But I'm limited in Connecticut, and I have to travel to New York all the time. And I was thinking about moving to, like, L.A., you know, because I have family in San Diego. So I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
Can I say something? Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to say this before we got too far away from that union question.
Okay.
This is Janice speaking, Ebony, and I'm licensed in makeup and I'm licensed in nails. My sister is a licensed esthetician, and she's also a makeup artist. TJ is a barber, licensed barber, certified in makeup, licensed hairstylist, and so we all have a couple of things under our belt. And I'm listening to you earlier say, you know, the nails, the hair, the makeup, all of this stuff. But one thing I want you to know about the union is that you have to choose one.
So when you're working in the union,
you have to be designated as one. But that does not stop you outside of the union. So any jobs that you have outside of the union, you can do whatever one of those things that you want to do, or all of them, if you care to.
So when
my sister was saying do the work and work on your skills, decide now which one of those things you want to do, so that way when you're out there networking and doing jobs, you're fine-tuning whichever one of those things, hair or makeup, that you want to do in the union.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And also, please keep in mind that there are union fees that a lot of people are not very aware of. Like, there is an entry fee that will knock your socks off. So
it's like $33,000 or something?
No, babe, that's half of it. No.
That's in New York. That's in New York. In L.A., more than that.
It's $6,500.
Well, yeah, but, you know, but keep in mind also in New York, it's $3,500 right now, but there have definitely been talks for a while about that increasing.
So just
think of that as the minimum.
Yes.
If you decide to do $7.98.
And then also consider that there are quarterly dues also. So it makes sense. Once you get into the union, you'll totally understand, you know, why this process. This is a coveted business that you're getting in, sweetheart, and it's not meant for everybody. So it's meant for people that really see themselves in this career as a career, not a job.
You know
what I'm saying? So they if it was easy for everybody, everyone would be in it, love.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a friend right now that works for ESPN. She's in a green room. She does makeup. And I was thinking about applying there because they have an apprenticeship program. I won't get paid for it, but I will go there even if it's once a month. Is that the route that I should take to get the hours?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that is awesome. No. I think that is awesome. Awesome.
Let me say,
really?
It's a great route to take to get the experience, but the union won't count that as hours if you're not getting paid.
Really?
True.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And if you're not getting paid, they won't
getting
count
paid.
That. Getting paid, you need to get paid at least $50.
At least $50
per show from a payroll company that the production is using, or from the production company's pay, like bank or checking account. But it has to be on a check that has the production company's name. So don't let Joe Blow producer give you a personal check out of his personal checkbook.
From
the production checkbook or a payroll company that the production is using, and it has to be at least $50. All of that free work won't help you get into the union, but I think it's a great opportunity for you to put on your resume to help you get paid production jobs.
Okay.
That, and you can also eventually end up gaining personal clients too, because if you're in the green room, and even if you're there, you know, assisting, you know, there will be opportunities for you to work with these, you know, if it's ESPN, it's full of men, and or, you know, you can still get a lady journalist, you know, here and there. But if you really, really want to dive into, you know, barbering and just male grooming, and you feel that you have a knack for it, I think that that's an amazing opportunity for you to take the ball and run with it, and also to become just set literate, you know what I mean? So you can understand mm-hmm. what it's like in the time frames, you know what I mean, and how just okay. how things flow. So when you do get the opportunity to actually get paid on jobs, you're not so green to where you're uncomfortable and you're, you know, you're flying in when you shouldn't be flying in, you know what I mean? You're taking too long
yeah.
to actually do makeup. You're too conversive. And that's another thing. Don't talk so much. That, like, people on set, you guys cannot be chatty Cathys, man. You cannot
yeah.
be chatty Cathys. You can't be, because you're supposed to be listening and paying attention to your clients and also paying attention to production. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really important. And,
okay.
and when we get there, we get all comfortable because it's a very relaxed environment, but this is still a professional environment. And quietness is the most important. It's about getting the job done. You can have fun on your break. You can have fun when you guys go have a cigarette smoke or something like that, but not on set.
Okay.
Now, this is a little a side note, and this is Denise speaking, and it's very important
Hi.
That you know who's speaking right now. I'll repeat it again. It's Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just sat here, and I really thought about what you were saying about ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to do this, if you run across Ray Lewis, do you know who that is?
Wow. That is awesome.
If you run across Ray Lewis, you make sure you call me, okay?
I was afraid to TJ for a second. I didn't know what she's going to say.
That's funny.
You email me or something.
Okay, Denise.
But you know what, Ebony, let me just say this. Back in the day, I'm from Baltimore, and back in the day when, they, you know, they still have the Preakness now, but when the Preakness was coming to Baltimore, I would work a lot with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the anchors, like, all day from, like, 7 in the morning all the way into right
yeah.
before that Preakness, that official race started. And, I mean, they would request me each year. And I would, because I worked through an agency when I worked with them, but they would request me each year, and I just absolutely loved working with them. So if you get the opportunity to go and to work, I would do it. And they are some really nice people, and a lot of those same guys and women that I worked with back then are all still there. They're just a little bit older,
wow.
but they're all still there. You know, a lot of them are still there, and they're all very, very nice people. So if you get a chance, I would do it.
Really?
Awesome.
Okay, then that's what I'm going to work on, trying to get in there. That's a process, too, which, like I said, I'm up for the challenge because this is what I want to do. It's just that there's a lot of – that's another thing I want to ask you, too. When you're getting in there, how do you – I don't know if it's safe to kind of set your own pace and set yourself aside, or should I just be a part of what – what is going? I don't know how I'm going.
My suggestion would be is that if there's that young lady that your friend that's already working there, it's important to just pay attention to her because that's her
right.
that's her job, right? Like that's
right.
her job.
Yeah,
so
she's
you would
been
be
there
shadowing.
For 8 years.
Oh yeah, babe, sweetheart, you've already got it on lock already. Like that's your guru.
Mm-hmm.
You pay attention to everything that she's doing. You follow her
mm-hmm.
lead, and then you also use common sense. If there is some things that, like some traits that she shouldn't be doing because she's been there for 8 years, you're going to know that you can't do those same things. You pay attention to the good things. You know what I mean? Don't take
right.
on, you know, like all of, you know, that person's, you know, vibe completely. Like just pay attention to what she's doing with her job, but understand that this is where you want to be, where she is. So just, you know, be open and receptive to the experience and don't go in there with fear. You already have it, darling. You just are just learning a new system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
And lastly, I just want to share this with you, and I really want to express the importance of social media to all of the listeners right now. Like, with me moving away from Hollywood, and where Hollywood has its own ways of acquiring jobs, you know what I mean? And it's real based. It's not necessarily website based or blog based. And I learned in New York the importance of creating your own following and acknowledging that people that are into you they could be your support system also. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like sharing your work, the things that you've done, I think you should share your versatility with the world. I think that you need to create a professional, you know, Instagram page where it's not about you as a person, it's about the work that you're doing. So you're sharing your work with the world and understanding the power of bringing anyone to any of those posts is the power of hashtagging. So if in that image you used red nail polish, each of those words are hashtags, red. So all people that are into red, that image will somehow get thrown into their feed, which means that they could like, comment, or follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then now you have you begin to create, you know, this network of people that are just interested in what you do, and they have never known you before, but because you're hashtagging properly, they're now interested in you, and now they're now supporting you, and then they could possibly hire you. I've gotten jobs off of Instagram already. I'm telling you that right now.
Okay.
I've gotten jobs
because
off of
Instagram. Because I always thought that was something that I should stay away from because everybody is doing it.
No, ma'am. That's a very antiquated way of thinking, and it could be fear-based because, you know, technology can sometimes be uncomfortable and it could be, like, kind of scary. But I'm here to share with you right now that it's your friend, it's for free, and you're sharing. At the end of the day, you are sharing who you are. So you should be doing it with a certain bit of panache, doing it with, you know, a certain bit of professionalism. If this is your business page, you're sharing with people who you are and what you're able to do for them. The only way that they're going to know who you are is if you share who you are. So I just really want to support Instagram. I really want to support, you know, your pro Facebook page, your Twitter. And then also, by all means, start a blog, sweetheart. Start a blog.
Okay,
share,
I just
share
started that.
Yeah, and blogs are for free. Go to Tumblr, love. If you have a Gmail account, then you can get a Tumblr account. Share. That's what this world is about. We're supposed to share all that we have. You know what I mean? You can gain people on your team just because you're sharing.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. This is awesome. This is like gold to me. You don't understand. It has answered some questions. Denise, I will not forget about you when I get into ESPN. Thank you, Dan. And thank you, TJ. I really appreciate this. Oh,
it was
goodness.
A pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome.
It was a pleasure. And please, by all means, follow me on Instagram. If you have any questions. If you have any questions at all, I'm always here for you and I'm able to help. No worries. And if
thank
I can't
you
help you,
so
then I'll lead you to someone that can.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Community, cyber hugs.
Yes. Yes.
Thank
have
you
a
so
good
much.
Night, darling. Thank you for the
you
call.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. Ebony.
No problem.
Okay, so we have like a little less than 15 minutes. And there is another caller here. Let's see.
Okay.
All right. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Niggers. Boob. Fuck you, booby nigger.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
There they go again.
Hilarious.
Thanks, brother. God bless you, too, man.
God bless you, too.
Yeah.
I guess they're not trying to get into the union.
No, I don't think so. It's all good. It's all good. It's
mm-hmm.
all good.
It's all good. That was wonderful. Ebony was like a breath of fresh air.
Wasn't she? Man.
I enjoyed her.
She's going to go far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Really
I connected with it. I connected with it. It was very genuine. You guys, like, I'm really looking forward to, you know, now that I'm in Miami and I've been here for the past year and a couple months, with me being so close to Atlanta, I'm really going to begin to chant in some reality where we're all working together and doing some great things together. I adore you all, and I appreciate you guys having me on tonight. This has been a great experience.
Absolutely. It's going to happen. It's going to happen this year.
I received that.
Let me ask you, TJ, in regards to, you know, your career as a makeup artist, and I'm going to talk makeup with you. That's how I'm going to look at you, a makeup artist and a groomer. Can I just call you that?
That is exactly what I am, and I appreciate it, yes.
Okay. All right. So in your career as a makeup artist and a groomer, how do you define success?
How do I define success? Wow. I define my personal success on my ability to be versatile and to be open and receptive to new experiences and seeing the expressions or the responses or, you know, or getting feedback from, you know, sharing with a beautiful lady or, you know, a really handsome guy that's in the business and he's doing something where he needs to be perfected, to get the responses mm-hmm. that I get. And that to me is what feeds me and is my success. And I've been on the spectrum of the high realm of making really, really great money. And as just a starving artist, I've also been, you know, in the very low realms. And, you know, if we didn't have to make money, that would be what would feed me. And that to me would be my success, is just getting the responses from the people that I work with and them feeling, you know, that I gave them my best. That to me mm-hmm. is success.
And in your opinion, whether it's hair, makeup, nails, barbering, whatever.
Wow. I think what makes a great artist is first acknowledging that you are an artist and mm-hmm. that there is nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't do. Everything that we've dreamt about, you know, everything that, you know, we have sketched, that we've, you know, kind of just we've wrote in our journals and we've forgotten about, you know, all of those things are incredibly dynamic, and that's what makes us, you know, these interesting beings that God has, you know, put on the planet. Like we're artists, man. We see beauty, we see things in ways that most people don't see it. So I think that's what's most important. I mean, I don't know if I'm like answering the question exactly the way you wanted, but I think that's my response.
And 19 years in the business and almost 16 as a makeup artist, what are some mm-hmm. of the changes that you've seen in regards to makeup? What are some of the changes that you've seen over the years?
I've seen how makeup is the focal point, meaning like in Hollywood, makeup is so heavy. I'm happy being able to see the change and the shift in makeup, where it's mainly about skincare now and it's not about spackling. And when I first got into the business, man, like I'd been around people that did heavy makeup, and for me, my generalization is that it's drag queen makeup, and that was always my fear of being a makeup artist, is that I didn't want to be a man that made a woman look like a man in makeup. So I'm appreciating that we are getting back to just we are all individually beautiful. We can do things to compliment ourselves, and for women now, you know, and forevermore, you know what I mean, that you guys will always have that tool to accentuate the beautiful things about your, you know, your face. You know, I think it's important to revisit that it's not about the makeup. It's about who we are, and we're complementing our own personal beauty. And I'm happy that makeup has gotten back to just, wow, it's a really beautiful lip. Wow, she has very beautiful lips, and I noticed that because that awesome shade, not that she's speckled. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate natural beauty, and that to me is my focus whenever I'm doing makeup. And I'm happy that we're returning back to that. So that change has been a big change, because I never really assimilated to the heavy makeup, and that's the reason why my brand, my style is of, you know, perfecting soft beauty. And I just am not into, like, the spackle. I'm not into, like, change. I don't like morphing a woman. And there are artists that are great at it, you know what I mean? But I just really want to make a woman just beautiful, and to where I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her like, wow. And to me, that's what makeup does for women. But sometimes with miseducation and, you know, the way that, you know, product is sold so much, people are not educating people on how to actually apply makeup, so they don't know that they're going overboard. So I think education is really important, too, when it comes to makeup, but you know, that's not always given, so people kind of have to find out through trial and error. But whenever I'm around and any time I can add my little two cents to anyone to help them out, man, makeup is a tool, and you're the beautiful person. It's not about the makeup. It's about you.
And in regards to this industry, is there anything that you see that this industry is missing?
That's kind of an open-ended question. It's missing in reference to what? In terms of makeup,
I mean,
or in terms of makeup,
in terms of artists and the way we do things, whatever you feel like it's not here that you would like to see.
I think the change that I would like to see amongst artists is that we're not intimidated by each other, and we're not trying to make it seem like one is better than the next. We're all uniquely individual and brilliant, and that's the reason why we've, you know, like associated ourselves with that title, artist, is because we all have something to offer creatively. So I would like some camaraderie, you know, with other, you know, makeup and hair and, you know, beauty professionals, you know, and not to be intimidated or afraid, if I help this person, then could this person take my job? And I'm here to say, sweetheart, the job wasn't meant for you if it could be taken by somebody. Do you understand? So it's like I personally feel that we could do better with each other and supporting each other and being there for each other. And just if you can't do the job, is it hurting you to pass the other job off to someone else opposed to just letting the job just go? You know what I mean? I just think that we can do better in supporting each other, you know? And, you know, we have a great network. It's just that, are we going to use it, or are we just going to ignore it? Are we just going to say happy birthday? Are we going to acknowledge this person? Are we going to, you know, treat this person, you know, whoever that person is that we're networking with, that they're, you know, are we going to show them that they're important, or are we going to just take advantage of them? You know what I'm saying? I just think that we as artists, we don't show each other the love that we could be showing each other, and if we did that, we could be more powerful, you know, as an amazing group of creative professionals.
Absolutely. Now, real quickly, we have like 4 minutes left. What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me, that's a good question. What is beauty to me? Beauty to me is confidence. You know, confidence and understanding that whatever your package is, it's your package, you know, and it's how you came out looking. So just acknowledging that we all have our own unique beauty, and if we're confident about that, to me, that's far more beautiful than me seeing, in, you know, a low self-esteem, gorgeous girl that, you know, needs compliments all the time, but she's really beautiful. Like, I think confidence is far more beautiful than, you know, just surface layer beauty, which is exterior. I think that, to me, is what beauty is confidence.
Absolutely, absolutely. We thank you so much, TJ. Honestly, you just don't understand how I'm almost speechless. I've just enjoyed this interview tonight. It has been so inspiring.
Wow. Thank you so much. You guys have been awesome, man, and I just appreciate you taking the time and even just conversing with me. It's been awesome. And Ebony made my night. Like, I mean,
oh,
really.
My God, didn't she? She called in and put her little spin on it.
She did. And the energy was so overwhelming. I loved it.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. And the best of luck to her. And Ebony, if you follow us on our page, Beauty Talk Online, if you have other questions, or you can reach out to TJ as well, just please let us know. If you want to stay in touch, get your email to us somehow, and we can stay in touch. I would love to find out what your progress is like and what's going on, and when I want to know when you actually get into the union, because I know you're going to get there. So
Yes, she is.
Definitely stay in touch with us all. And then I'm going to turn it over to my sister, see if she has anything else she wants to say.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear. Hold on.
Okay.
I don't understand why I can't hear. I'm sorry. That was my fault. My phone was on mute by mistake. But thank you so much, TJ, for joining us. We had a great time. And, Ebony, if you're out there and you're still listening, I'm very serious about that Ray Lewis thing.
Oh, man, that's serious. I love it.
And if you all would like to follow us on Facebook, you can follow us at Beauty Talk Online Radio. On Twitter, we are at @beauty_talk. On Instagram, we're @beauty_talk_media. You can also follow us on Twitter @DeniseTunnell. That's TUNNELL. And @JaniceTunnell. I better spell that out because people may think it's Janice, but it's JaniceTunnell. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you for that.
And you guys can follow me.
You guys can totally follow me. I am
TJ Roblin. Yes. And if you guys have any questions at all, and if there's any way that I can be helpful, don't hesitate to reach out to me. This has been a great experience, and just thanks again. It's been awesome. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Everybody have a wonderful night. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night. Good night.
Night-night.
Good night.